ஓம். மே பிரம்மன் ப்ரொடெக்ட் அஸ் போத். மே பிரம்மன் பெஸ்டவ் அப்பான் அஸ் போத் தி ஃப்ரூட் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ். மே வி போத் அப்டெயின் தி எனர்ஜி டு அக்வயர் நாலெட்ஜ். மே வாட் வி போத் ஸ்டடி ரிவீல் தி ட்ரூத். மே வி செரிஷ் நோ இல் ஃபீலிங் டுவர்ட் ஈச் அதர். ஓம் பீஸ் 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 பி அன் டு ஆல். சுவாமி விவேகானந்தாஸ் பக்தி யோகா, ஆஸ் ஐ மென்ஷன்ட் பிஃபோர், there is something unique in the treatment that Swami Vivekananda had given on any one of these yogas. The uniqueness lies in his clarification of what is really religion. You remember the definition? Religion is realization, not rituals, not bookish knowledge, but actual experience. The same way, there was a lot of misunderstanding that devotion and knowledge are opposite to each other. There is a misunderstanding that devotion means emotion, and there is also this lack of understanding in us which says we have to pray to God for devotion. Now we shall discuss these things in a slightly elaborate manner. First of all, is bhakti and knowledge, devotion and knowledge, are they opposite to each other? In India especially, there is this tremendous clash between people. Even those who study the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, you know, very often Sri Ramakrishna used to discourage devotees reading certain types of books. For example, Ashtavakra Samhita. Ashtavakra Samhita is one of the scriptures which says, I am Brahman. There is a very beautiful verse there, that I salute myself, Tasmai Mahyam Namo Namaha, because I am the greatest, I am everything, I am infinite. Sri Ramakrishna even wanted Swami Vivekananda to read this book. It was paradoxically Swami Vivekananda who said, this is blasphemous to say that I am God. Sri Ramakrishna said, I am not asking you for your sake. So I want to hear. Come on, read out. But of course, when you read something, are you not going to hear it? It goes deep into you. But at no point Swami Vivekananda said, I am a jnani, I am a man of knowledge, I am not a devotee. Sri Ramakrishna told he was a devotee. Swami Vivekananda himself declared, I am all knowledge outside, but all devotion inside. Sri Ramakrishna was a hard-hearted man. Outside he was like a butter, inside he was like a diamond. Swami Vivekananda, outside he looked like a diamond, but inside was all smoothness, complete smoothness. So, why this controversy? Can we ever have any devotion to God without knowledge? It is impossible. One of the definitions of devotion by one of the ancient Indian teachers, Shandilya, sa paranurakti ishvare. Devotion is the love that comes after one has knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God, knowledge of one's self. Now supposing there is a child and he has been adopted by somebody, and is being brought up. Foster parents. Will he have tremendous love and devotion to his real parents? Is it possible? Why? Because he doesn't even know who his real parents are. We are all like that. We do not know what is the relationship between us and God. Once we come to know what is our relationship, I am the child of God, I come from God. That is my real home. There is no need to say you have devotion towards God. Automatically devotion will come. Another way of looking at it is, you see, we think we are very worldly people. What does it mean? Worldly people means what? We consider this world as our real home. Everything in this world is real. And we are related to this world. This is the only reality we know. This is the only reality we ever desire. Why is it? Can we not desire God? No, you cannot desire God. Why? Because you simply don't know anything about God. There is a world called Brahmaloka. Can you desire Brahmaloka? It is, you know what is Brahmaloka? The highest type of happiness a human being can have. That is called Brahmaloka. There was Swami Turiyananda, a direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. He used to live at Varanasi. And he was a great scholar. So in his presence, holy scriptures used to be read and discussed. And once they were studying a very tough non-dualistic scripture called Yoga Vasishta. And somebody used to read and explain. Sometimes they used to discuss. So one day there was reading going on. So there was a description of Brahmaloka. And the scripture is telling Brahmaloka is the highest happiness that any human being can get, any god or goddess can get. But if somebody hankers after the happiness of Brahmaloka, he can never have self-knowledge. One must have tremendous dispassion even for Brahmaloka. How? So this description is, you know, a crow's filth. Is there anyone who hankers after it? In such a manner, instinctively, one should have that kind of feeling towards Brahmaloka. I cannot even bear to look at this. It is so filthy. Instinctively, naturally, it should come. Then one is fit to have self-knowledge. This was the description given in the scripture. Swami Turiyananda was also hearing, listening to this, and he stopped the reader and he turned to one of the novices there and he asked, supposing Sri Ramakrishna comes and offers you Brahmaloka, what will you do? And the novice, you know, novice means ignorant fellow. So he said, oh, I spit upon this Brahmaloka. Swami Turiyananda laughed and laughed and laughed and said, foolish fellow, you do not know what you are talking about. Even if you have the distantest glimpse of Brahmaloka, and if Sri Ramakrishna is running after you, you will simply kick him aside and run to Brahmaloka. Such is the attraction. Is it true? Yes, it is true. You know, even our day-to-day experiences. Suppose you are very, very, very hungry and some very tasty food is right in front of you. All that you have to do is go to the fridge, open it and eat it. Just at that time, if Sri Ramakrishna says, come on, I feel like having a talk with you, what will you do? You may say, oh, I'll be very happy to postpone my eating and have a chat with Sri Ramakrishna. No. When that time comes, you will push Sri Ramakrishna aside and say, come after 15 minutes, we will have a good chat. Mm-hmm. So what is wrong with us? There is nothing wrong. What is wrong really is that unless we have a definite knowledge that this is the nature of this Brahmaloka and this world is insignificant. It's like poison. Unless we have knowledge, we cannot have. But unfortunately, we do not have that knowledge. We know about this world, some happiness is there, so it is not that easy. So that is why Rama, according to the system of Ramanuja, he says, all of us are destined to become devotees of God. And this devotion comes in three stages. The first stage is called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means you purify your heart. You have some kind of self-control. You make your mind calm, quiet, balanced, discriminative, able to reason in the right way. That is the result of Karma Yoga. What is the result of Karma Yoga? Karma Yoga gives you an understanding of your own true self. Not according to non-dualistic Vedanta, but according to qualified dualistic Vedanta. You have Atmavalokana, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge means I am a spark of the divinity. I am part of the infinity. I am part of God called Narayana. So as soon as you realize that you are part of God, immediately your mind feels, I want to go to my Lord. I want to go to my own parents. This is not my home. This is a foreign country. I am living in a dangerous place. This doesn't belong to me. But fortunately, for the Lord, we do not have that knowledge. That is why we are not going to Him. You know why I said fortunately for the God? Because if we all become real devotees of God, imagine the trouble God is going to have. He is prepared to give us liberation, but not devotion. It's a beautiful song in Bengali. Why? The devotees goes on, you know, out of exuberance of devotion. He will go on remembering God, praying to Him. What is happening to his world? Who is going to look after him? Where from the breakfast is going to come? He is not bothered. Who is to bother about it? God has to be bothered about it. He has to run after each one of us to keep us happy. So he said, you know, give them liberation once for all. Means end all the trouble. They will never again come back to me. So when a person has this glimpse into his own nature, it is called Jnana Yoga. As soon as this knowledge comes, immediately he becomes a bhakta, a devotee. Sri Ramakrishna was an exemplar of this definition of Ramanuja. You know, he was such a great man of knowledge. He could live absorbed in samadhi in that state. But you know what he said? I would like to enjoy. In the gospel, we come across certain teachings, certain incidents, which are tremendously fascinating. One day, Sri Ramakrishna was talking with some devotees. Suddenly, the Divine Mother appeared in a Banarasi sari. So this is how we come to know knowledge of the Divine Mother. She has her own fancies. Maybe Divine Mother, that she fancies Banaras silk sari. What was Sri Ramakrishna saying? I am enjoying the song, O Mother. Get out of this place. Do not disturb me. Because the idea of absorbing, getting absorbed in the divinity, in samadhi, that is, according to him, not such a good thing. In Bengali, there is a beautiful saying, Ami chini hote chai na, chini khete chai. I do not want to be sugar. I want to enjoy sugar. And strangely, even the Advaitins also admit that is the most desirable stage. Before having self-knowledge, the path of devotion may create bondage. But after attaining self-knowledge, Dvaitam Advaitadapi Sundaram, duality is even sweeter than non-duality, to enjoy the bliss of the presence of God, to sing about Him. Because this kind of enjoyment, a bit of duality is necessary. I do not want to be absorbed, I want to enjoy. So, what is the point we are discussing? That according to some, that devotion cannot come without knowledge. Devotion is the result of having knowledge. First comes knowledge, then comes devotion. Then why is it that the people who follow the path of knowledge, they do not show any emotion? You see, what is the meaning of emotion? To show an emotion, one must have somebody else, something else. Duality is necessary. If there is no duality, there cannot be any kind of emotion. Suppose you are alone. Do you fear anybody? I am not talking about your loneliness. Loneliness means there is somebody there, I am here, and I can't meet them. I can't send SMS text to them. That is not what I am talking about. If you know that there is nobody else in this world, nothing else excepting you, what type of emotion can you have? There is nothing to love, there is no one to hate, there is nobody to fear, there is nobody, no enemy, there is no friend, there is no good, there is no bad, there is nothing is there. How do you express your emotion? Now, that is what happens to a person who follows the path of knowledge. He knows, I am the only reality, Aham Brahmasmi. What type of relationship can he have? Emotion is an expression of relationship. Whether it is positive or negative. If it is positive, we say friendliness. If it is negative, enmity. But when there is nobody else excepting one, to whom will you be an enemy? To who is your friend? How do you express any emotion? You cannot do that. The jnanis, they cannot express any type of emotion because there is nobody else with whom they can interact. That is why we feel that this is a very hard path. They do not have devotion. No, it is not that they do not have devotion. They have tremendous love for the self. But they have no way of expression, manifestation. Whereas a devotee, for him always God is the other. There is somebody else besides me, and that is God. So I forge a kind of relationship with him. As my father, as my mother, as a friend, as a master, or even as a good neighbor, or even sometimes the negative type of relationships. I hate God, I fear God, and you know, like Kamsa, Shishupala, Dantavatra, etc., etc. That is why a devotee likes, because we are all living in the realm of emotions. We cannot live without these emotions. And that is why we do not like the path of knowledge, because you will have to no opportunity to express your emotions. But one thing is for certain, even a man of knowledge has tremendous love for the self. He won't say for the personal God, but for the self. Second is what is Swami Vivekananda says, devotion is the most natural thing in the world. Most of us are suited for the path of bhakti, devotion. Now, is it a true statement? Why is it so? How do we know that we are fitted only for the path of devotion, bhakti, and not for any other path? Here is a test. If you have any desire for anything else, if you fear anybody, if you hate anybody, if you love anybody, then the path of devotion is for you. Emotion, this is what is called emotion, is an expression of relationship. As long as we think there is something else besides us,
so long do we forge a kind of relationship, and so long we cannot tread the path of knowledge. It is impossible. Sometimes it is also possible to have devotion without too much of emotion. But because we are people accustomed to see an expression of emotion, and when we don't see the emotion, we even misunderstand people. Do you know, there are types of people who do not express emotion. See, for example, suppose if there is a person, and he doesn't tell you 100 times, I love you, I love you, I love you. Suppose you do something to him, he doesn't say thank you, he doesn't want to talk to you very much, excepting occasionally. What would be your opinion about this person? Suppose you cook nice dishes, he says, okay, no more expression than that. What would be your opinion about that person? He is a hard-hearted person. He has no love for anybody. You know, in the gospel, a character is there called Dr. Mahendralal Sarkar. You know, we are such weak creatures. The moment we do something, we expect the reaction. If the reaction is not there outwardly, inside it may be, but outside we want to see the reaction outside. If it doesn't come, then we think people are very hard-hearted. But how much of this is ruining us on one side, we also do not understand. You know how this, if you want that kind of emotional expression, how are we doing today? How is your nephew? What connection that person has got with your nephew? She wants to sell the goods. How can we help you? You know, somehow we are accustomed to this kind of interaction. And that is why when we do not see this kind of interaction, we feel this person is very hard-hearted person. Maybe sometimes these persons are much, much more loving than the persons who express emotions. So, any one of us who are in this state where we expect emotional exhibitionism, for us, the most natural path is devotion, because this is what we expect from God. We also express our emotions towards God, and we also expect God to express the same emotions towards us. And we think that He loves us, He protects us, and He will do everything for our happiness. And when even we do not know what is our future, He is going to take care of our future. All these things we expect from God, and we believe implicitly that God is going to take care of all of us. Is it real? Yes, it is real. That's what the Gita says. That's what Sri Ramakrishna says. If anyone places his faith in God, God will take care of all his needs. What about the Jnanis? Is God going to take care of Jnanis or not? The Jnani says, I am Brahman. Who is going to take care of his needs? Tell me. Is not God there to take care of him? He is also a devotee of God. He also surrendered himself. Only he doesn't call God by personal names like Rama, Jesus, Buddha. Calls him Atman, my own self. But we are such people, we mistake that person, he has no devotion to God. Every jnani is a devotee. Every devotee is a jnani. Because without knowledge, this devotion cannot come. Now, what is meant by easy? Swami Vivekananda says, this path of devotion is most... Is it easy means what? Suppose a man of knowledge starts on his path, and a devotee starts on his path towards God. Who reaches early? The devotee reaches early, is it not? Because it is so easy. The jnani, the man of knowledge, has to go through a lot of trouble and struggle and effort and all those things. So he reaches up to long, long, long time. And as devotee, you know, just Ram, 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 and then he reaches. Is it what is meant by easy? No. What is meant by easy is, whatever path suits us, that path is the best path for us. If we take a path which is not suitable for our nature, that would be a terrible thing. That would be not only not favorable, it will even hamper our progress. So in that sense, for most of us, the path of devotion is most suited. So one of our Swamis used to say, you know, there is a home test. Nowadays there is a home test for everything, for blood pressure and all those things. So there is a home test whether you are fitted for the path of devotion or not. What is it? If somebody praises you and your blood pressure rises up. If somebody criticizes you, then your blood pressure rises up. That is a sure positive test that you are fit only for the path of bhakti, devotion. But if let people praise you, let people criticize you, you remain absolutely calm and quiet, then you are fitted for the path of knowledge. Now here is also something. A man who is fit to follow the path of knowledge, not merely he remains calm, he positively wishes the welfare of the other person even when he is killing him also. Why? Because the other person who is killing, he doesn't know about this person. But this person definitely knows, this is my own self. Sri Ramakrishna's, this is a beautiful story. A monk went out for begging alms. He found a rich man was beating another poor man. So he went to interfere. And the rich man became so angry, he turned against this monk and beat him unconscious. And his brother monks came to know of it, carried him off to the monastery, and slowly they were trying to bring him back to consciousness. And when they found that he was regaining a bit of consciousness, they started pouring a bit of milk into his mouth. Slowly, the man was coming back to physical consciousness. One of them wanted to know how much consciousness he regained. So he asked, "Do you recognize the person who is pouring milk into you?" He said, "Yes, it is the same person who beat me to unconsciousness." Sri Ramakrishna's stories are superb. So a man who is treading the path of knowledge, not merely he remains under adverse circumstances or if somebody is trying to harm him, calm and quiet, but he positively wishes well because he knows, this is my own self. This is not somebody different from me. This is me in the other form. So that is why Swami Vivekananda says, the path of devotion is most natural. And also, the path of knowledge means total denial. We have to say, this is not me, this is not me, this is not God. But in the path of devotion, everything is positive. Everything is accepted. Everything is good. There is nothing to be denied because everything is a manifestation of God. We need not make any effort to say this world is real. For us, this world is already real. You do not need to deny the reality of this world. But what is to be denied? We have to deny that this is not God. This is a human being. This is a tree. This is an animal. This is not God. No. This human being is also a manifestation of God. This plant is also a manifestation of God. This animal is also a manifestation of God. Everything is a manifestation of God. That is the path we have to take. We do not need to change the reality. We need to change or expand our vision of this world. That is why the path of devotion is so very important. Then another thing, a man of knowledge, his main spiritual practice is meditation. He studies scriptures, he thinks of scriptures, he meditates on the scriptures. But a man of devotion cannot do that all the time. He has to, like a small child, he needs lot of distraction. His mind is not that much fixed. He doesn't have that kind of willpower to say, I will only think of the self and nothing else. He is like a person, sometimes he meditates, sometimes he worships, sometimes he sings about God, sometimes he listens good devotional songs, sometimes he goes on pilgrimage, and sometimes he dances in an ecstasy. There is so much of opportunity to express his mind, and that is most easy thing for us. Our mind is already restless. How to make this restlessness, how to connect this restlessness with God? That is called the path of devotion. That is why it is so very easy for us. We also want to enjoy this world. Usually the people who follow the path of knowledge, they suffer from dyspepsia. They cannot digest, you know, tasty food. Only bland soup they can drink at best. Whereas a devotee wants to enjoy this world. He can enjoy, he can wants to see good things, hear good things, taste good things, smell good things. So expression, there is a wonderful opportunity for the expression of devotion through all the five sense organs. Whereas the path of knowledge is so difficult. You have to withdraw, as it were, and say, no, I don't see, I don't hear, I don't taste, I don't touch, etc. But then, are we not using our five sense organs? Yes, you are doing it. But there is no God added to that. We have to add God to whatever we are experiencing through the five sense organs. That is called puja or worship. Now you buy a new house. What do you do first? If you are a devotee, you worship God. You offer it to Him. First, who enters into the house? If you buy a house, God enters. You know, you take the photograph of Sri Ramakrishna or Jesus Christ or whatever. You buy a new piece of cloth. What do? You offer it to God and then enjoy it. You want to enjoy nice food. What do? You offer it to God and enjoy it. You want to enjoy music. What do? Offer it to God. Devotional music. You know, it doesn't differ much, devotional music and secular music. Does it really differ? You just see, the Lata Mangeshkar's tunes are there in India, you know, Hindi tunes. Hey Prana Priya, if she is addressing some worldly lovers, then it is called worldly music. But just hey Prana Priya, hey Rama, I cannot live without you. Ah, what a devotional song. What has changed? Only the world has changed. So, it is so easy for us because we want to enjoy this world. But if we do not bring in God for our enjoyment, then we will suffer. But the same things, you just add God a little bit. This is called prasad. Whether it is piece of cloth, little bit of food or any material object, just you bring in God. And immediately, the whole scenario changes. Our mind becomes filled with greater bliss. This is how we develop slowly, slowly devotion. In the path of knowledge, one has to be very hard-hearted from the very beginning. In the path of devotion, it is like climbing a very high mountain, step by step. It is easy in that sense. We are all like children. We do not have that strength. From the very beginning, we surrender ourselves to God. And these practices enjoined by the devotional scriptures is far easier for us than the path of knowledge. And as I also mentioned, any steps we are taking must bring some kind of immediate pleasure or joy to us. Whereas a man who is treading the path of knowledge, he is able to sustain himself without any emotion, whereas we cannot. That is why the path of devotion is so much suitable for us. There are hardly in this world a few people who can be counted on the fingers, who can be say they are fit for treading the path of knowledge. It is so very difficult. But make no mistake, it is not that easy even to become a devotee of God. The power of this world is so strong, so immensely powerful. Every time we try to turn our mind towards God, is what we call Mahamaya. It turns away our mind from God. Don't think of God. Think of this world. That is why Swami Vivekananda said that the path of devotion is most natural. Nothing need be denied. And it is the most suitable path for us. Because it is suitable, it is easier for us. So let us tread the path of bhakti, devotion, Now, what is devotion? A definitions of devotion in Vedanta and also by so many teachers from the other religions, and most of the religions are the paths of devotion only. There is so much of adoration of the personal God. So they have given their own definitions. There have been several teachers in the past, like Narada, and many others are there. And the latest was Sri Ramakrishna himself. He was a master of devotion. You know, Sri Ramakrishna used to pray to the mother, "Oh mother, make me an emperor of devotees. I want to remain as the greatest devotee of the Divine Mother." Though he attained the highest Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to live in this world as the greatest of devotees. Swami Vivekananda, according to the tradition, he studied all the traditional teachers, and he has brought in every one of them, all the wonderful points they made, but he had added his own things. Now here, the first thing that we get across is the definition by Narada himself. Narada was a great devotee of God, and he was supposed to have written a book on how to acquire knowledge. And in the very second verse, he defines devotion. Sattvasmin parama prema swarupa. What is devotion? Devotion is supreme love towards the supreme God. Now, two things that are to be noted here is, it is not mere devotion. We all have some kind of devotion. We love our parents, our children, our friends, our countries, and what we call our well-wishers. That is a kind of devotion, though we do not call it devotion. We call it love, but it is a kind of devotion only. But any love shown towards any worldly person or worldly object cannot be called devotion. Only when the devotion is directed towards the supreme object, then only it can be called devotion. But not merely devotion towards supreme God. It must be supreme devotion. Supreme devotion means how much devotion will you show towards God? Suppose Sri Ramakrishna comes and tells, "Do you love me?" He says, "Of course I love you." "How much do you love me?" He says, "Of course I love you most." "What about Rasagulla? Do you love Rasagulla also?" "Yes, I love a little bit of Rasagulla also." "What about, do you love a good car?" "Yes, I love a little bit of good car also." No, our love is splintered. It is divided, a bit here, a bit there, a bit there. By our very nature of living, we have divided our love. We have not acquired that love whereby we are focusing all our love towards one object. You know, Swami Vivekananda was a great admirer of Laila Majnu. You know why? Because they were two supreme lovers, even though they are only loving each other as human beings. But they had no eyes for anybody else. All their attention is focused only towards each other. They have no love for anything else. So our love must be focused love. And at the same time, it must be focused towards the highest being. Now, why cannot we love? Can we have supreme love towards an ordinary object? Not possible. You know why? Because every object is changing. In order to be able to focus our supreme love towards any object, the object must be capable of receiving it. Now here is some interesting thought for food. When God loves us, how much does he love us? A bit. God is like an ocean. Suppose we go to the ocean. How much does it, the ocean says, "Do you want water from me?" We say yes. And we ask, "How much are you prepared to give to me?" What does the ocean say? Ocean says, "Take as much as you can. I'll fill you." So, can you bring the ocean? Because there is no ocean. In American cliche is there, you know. So, this often people like us ask, "Can we have everything?" The cliche says, "No, you cannot have everything." Where will you keep? Suppose you have enough money to buy a supermarket. You buy, You pay the money and buy. Afterwards, where will you keep? You have no place to keep. So it will be there only. So the idea is that the object towards which we are focusing must be able to receive what we want to give. On our part also, we should be able to give the best that we can. But on the part of the object also, the object must be capable of receiving what we want to give. If any failure on both these parts, that becomes finite, limited. Now, we cannot really love God, accepting God, anything else accepting God, because no object is capable of our supreme love. If you love this much, then that object is very nice, very capable of receiving. A funny example I will give you also. Supposing you are devotees and you start loving me. So you show supreme love towards me. You know what you will become to me? A damn nuisance. Because you know you are phoning 100 times a day to see how I am. You are not allowing me to sleep. And you want to cook with your, and then feed me. Now if I know very well, if I eat your cooking, what would be my fate? You know, it's a little bit of love towards us. Oh, hello, how are you? Very fine. It's wonderful. But the moment a little bit more, then it becomes really, really difficult. That's why Narada's definition of bhakti is so marvelous. It is supreme love, intensest love, directed towards the supreme being, and that is God. Only God is infinite, and He alone is capable of receiving our love. No object in this world is capable of receiving our love. What is the reason? Reason is, we are changing, we are limited. Everything is changing in this world. Not only that, we are also changing. Every object in this world changes. We are in this world, so we are also changing. How can one changing object permanently show its love towards another object? There is nothing permanent in this world. It is impossible to have any love, permanent, so-called permanent love towards each other. Only the Supreme Lord is capable of receiving our love. Then there is Sandilya's, we have already discussed. His definition of love is, devotion is, sa paranurakti ishvare. Always used to say that devotion to God comes after you have knowledge, anurakti. Anu means after. Rakti means devotion, affection, love. It comes after. After what? After you have knowledge. Therefore, we must have some knowledge of God. But where from are you going to get? Are we going to get knowledge of God? We have not seen God. In fact, we want to see, go to God. When we see God, we know. But until that time, how do we know about God? There is another way. It is called faith in the words of Guru, in the words of scriptures. We get indirect knowledge about God from the Guru and from the scriptures. But Swami Vivekananda was not satisfied with these definitions of devotion. He takes Prahlada's statement as the supreme definition of love or devotion. What is it? Ya priti avivekana visayeshu anapayini. Vam anusmaratah same hridayat ma apasarpatu. Prahlada was one of the greatest devotees of God. He says, you know, that love which worldly people have towards worldly objects, may that supreme attachment, worldly attachment, turn towards God. May I have the same kind of attachment towards you, O Lord. Now the best thing about this effect, about this definition is, we all have that love already. You know, many times we pray to God, oh God, give me bhakti, give me devotion. Do you need devotion? You do not need, you have already, all of us have devotion within us. So we do not call it devotion, we call it attachment, we call it love. All the devotion needed to turn our attention to God is already within us, right now, right here. But what is the problem? Problem is, first of all, two problems. First of all, it is scattered, it is divided. A little bit love for a little bit love for parents, for children, a little bit for friends, a little bit for the country, a little bit for, you know, football, a little bit. Why the audience is so less today? Yesterday I went to London for the Gita class. I have in these 13 years, I have never been able to reach the center so quickly as yesterday. There was no traffic at all. They said, ooh, like that, you know. Within 50 minutes we had reached the center. No, not at no time I have ever reached. First we were wondering, what has it? Then suddenly it dawned upon us. You know, most of them had gone away to Germany and the rest of them are glued to their TVs. So, today also the audience, their bhakti for the football is greater than their bhakti for these classes, spiritual classes. See, always this is the clash, you know. You see, you know, devotees are very knowledgeable people. You see, football is not always available. God is always available. They have good knowledge of God, you see. Swami is always available. Anytime we can go. But this football, you know, it only comes once in a few years. So, we already have that equipment. We are equipped with that love. And incomplete. That is why, you know, what Sri Ramakrishna says? Somebody asks him, when does one realize God? You know what Sri Ramakrishna says? When one can combine these three types of attractions. The attraction of a chaste wife for her husband, the attraction of a mother for her child, and the attraction of a miser towards his wealth. If these three can be combined and directed towards God, then one can realize God. So, we already have the equipment, but one problem is, it is, first of all, scattered. And secondly, it is not directed towards God. It has to be directed towards God. Now, here is something which we all have to be aware of. If and when we direct our attention towards God, does that mean that we have to hate the world? We have to get away from the world? We have to be separated from the world. This is a fear most of us have. What happens if I start loving God? Then probably I cannot love my family or my children or my friends like that. No, there is no such danger. In fact, we can love them more. But then one problem comes. You know what is the problem? We usually do not want impersonal love. We want very personal love. You know, Swami, do you love me? Yes, of course I love you. Do you love anybody else? Yes, I do. Oh, that is not acceptable. Only if you love me, then it is very acceptable. But the moment you start, you know, loving anybody else, that is very bad. That is because of Maya. Now, what happens in spiritual life? Love becomes impersonal. You know, there was a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Shivananda, Mahapurush Maharaj. He was the only son of his mother. But his parents used to look after orphan children, nearly 15-20 children. And his mother used to cook for all of them. And she never used to give anything special to her own son. He was one of the children. She will serve the same thing to all the orphan children. Even the neighbors have complained, what type of mother you are? You are serving the same thing to orphan boys and to your own son. And she replied, for me, all these are my sons only. There is nobody who is not my son. Now that kind of impersonal love, most of us cannot stand. We want very personalized way, I love you only and nobody else. There was a schoolboy with his sister. So one day the teacher asked the schoolboy, John, do you want to go to heaven? He said, before I answer, I want to ask you, is my sister also going to go there? If my sister is going there, no way I am going there. If I am going alone, that's fine. So because we are so selfish, we are so limited, not only we do not want to love everybody equally, we do not want anybody else also to love anybody else equally. We want only person to person, one to one. This is called worldliness, maya, selfishness. So Sri Ramakrishna loves all of us. Does he love Bin Laden? What about if suppose Bin Laden goes to Holy Mother and you are watching? What would you think her behavior would be? Suppose President Bush and Bin Laden, both of them got together with two Holy Mother. And Holy Mother is, you know, serving Bin Laden. And President Bush is watching. What would be the thoughts in the mind of President Bush? What would be opinion of President Bush about Holy Mother? You know how narrow this is, though we don't say it, we are practically like that. So, we already have the equipment. The trouble is two troubles. One, it is scattered. Second, it is not directed towards God. So, what is bhakti? First of all, to gather all the devotion that we have and redirect it towards God. In the process, do we lose our love for the world? Do we neglect the world? No. There is a lot of, you know, misunderstanding about spiritual life. A spiritual person should go away to mountains and should not care what happens to the world. This is one of the charges brought against religion and against contemplative especially. The contemplative doesn't care for the fate of the world. Sometimes this leads to almost, you know, funny consequences. There is, in some 20, 25 years back, a new movement has come. It started in South America. It is called liberation theology. What is liberation theology? Liberation. For Hindus, you know, liberation means mukti. No, this is not the type of liberation. Liberation means if somebody is poor, remove the poverty. Somebody is oppressed, remove the oppression. Somebody is not getting justice, bring justice to that person. Somebody is not having opportunity, make opportunity for him. Means, improve the life of people on this earth. And this movement has spread so much. Later on, one great bishop had remarked about it. We seem to have completely forgotten God and completely focused only on this world. You know, in the name of religion, it is all right, you serve the world, but world improvement is not your aim. Your goal is to realize God. And if you are truly spiritual, automatically this world also will get the benefit. Do you want example? Take the example of Sri Ramakrishna. Did he start any schools? Did he start any hospitals? And in fact, he spoke against them to some of the devotees. If God comes, would you ask God for more schools and everything? But who has started more schools, more hospitals than the Ramakrishna mission? Why did they start? Because it is also part of serving God, showing our devotion to God. And once Ramana Maharshi was asked, what about trying to help this world? You know what Ramana Maharshi said? You help yourself, and thereby you help the world. Now you may say, how does it apply in our day-to-day practical life? Just imagine, how many people have become spiritual just by coming into contact with Ramana Maharshi? Not only at that time, but even now, by just studying his teachings, they start meditating upon the self. But then do they stop there? The result of their meditation upon the self is, they become kindlier, more compassionate, more sympathetic towards other people. They are the people who really help the great works, service works that are going on here also and in other countries too. Always those who have love for God, they develop more love for this world too. What is the cause for this? What is the reason? What is the psychology, rational behind it? The rational is, if our minds are imbued with love, whatever we look at, we only look with love and that brings all the change. You cannot say, when I look at God, I love Him. But when I look at the world, I hate it. Can you say that? It is the same mind. If it loves God, it loves also the world. Echoing this one, there is a beautiful Bengali saying, Atmendriya Preeti Ichcha Tare Bole Kam, Krishnendriya Preeti Ichcha Dhore Prem Naam. That is to say, when all our sense organs are directed towards the world and become attached and show emotion or love towards worldly objects, that is called Kam. Kama means worldly love. But when the same sense organs try to see Krishna or God in everything, they are directed towards God, then that emotion is called prema, devotion, love for God. The point that is made it here is, already the equipment is there. We have tremendous attachment to the world, but it is scattered and it is not directed towards God. If we can succeed in slowly turning our attention towards God, then this very world becomes a great help for us. This world is a gymnasium where we are given the opportunity to develop our innate love. If we cannot love what we see, we also will not be able to love God because we do not see Him. So the family, the friends, the children, and all that we see in this world gives us enormous opportunity to develop our love so that we can, in the end, turn it towards God. And how to turn it? What disciplines do we need to undergo? What are the dangers if we are not discriminative enough? These are the points which Swamiji discusses it. We will discuss it in our next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.